The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Why did the Chazal, why did our sages establish for generations the mitzvah of Purim, that it should be a zecher, it should commemorate what took place during the time of Esther and Mordechai, Achashverosh and Haman? It became one of the mitzvahs, the Divrei Kabbalah, one of the mitzvahs of the Chachamim that were obligated to keep every year. Actually, it was the last mitzvah of the time of the Ksuvim, of the Kisvei HaKodesh, the last mitzvah which took place during the time of the, before the end of the Tanakh. There were many wars, and there were many Yeshuas, there were many salvations which happened to Klal Yisrael during their long history of Golus. So why did the Chazal choose this one? That it should be established for generations, and it's so that we should keep every generation, every year. Second question. The Medrash in Mishlei tells us, Kol Hamayrim Asidim Libotu, Yimei Purim Leibetei. That after the time of the Melech HaMashiach, the Meyadim, the Yamtaidim, many of the Yamtaidim will become bottled, will be done away with. It will be a time when we will not keep all of the Yamtaidim. But we may Purim Leibetei. But Purim will last forever. Purim will never be done by that. This is something also which is somewhat surprising, because the Yadi Yamtaidim are actually from the time of the Torah. Purim is something which was added on later. Why does Purim have this significance that it will last forever, while other holidays will not? The second question. A third question. The Gemara in Masechta Megillah tells us Chayav Odom Mitzuma Bepuri Adela Yoda Ben Oro Haman Uborok Mordechai. The person is obligated to drink on Purim to the point where he will become so drunk he will not know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. This mitzvah we find only on Purim. There's the mitzvah of every Shabbos making kiddush on wine. There's the mitzvah on Yom Tov of Ein Simcha Lebosabit Lebosabit Yain. The Gemara tells us that one can only rejoice with good food and good meat and wine. And for Simchas Yantif, we're obligated in this. On Pesach, at the Seder, we're obligated to drink four Dalit Kosis, four cups of wine. But nowhere in the Torah, and nowhere throughout the all of the Yantif, we find that there's an obligation for one to drink to the point where he cannot define anymore the difference between blessed is Mordechai and cursed is Haman. What is the significance of this one? And fourthly, the Gemara in Masechta Chulin, and the Kuf Lamed Tes on the base, Kuf Lamed Tes on the base. Gemara asks the question, since Purim is a Yom Tov which was established by our sages after the close of the Torah, after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, is there perhaps an implication in the Torah for such a doing, for such a Yom Tov? So the Gemara asks, Homon minat Torah minayin, is there an implication in the Torah that there will rise up a Haman? The Gemara says yes. It brings a pasuk. Hamin ha'eitz, Hamin ha'eitz, that when the serpent came to Chava, the first woman, and asked her, that did Hashem, did God also command that you shall not eat from this tree? So it said, Hamin ha'eitz, this tree also you are commanded that you are not allowed to eat from. For this tree you are allowed to eat from. And the word Hamin is spelled Hey Mem Nun, the same way that Haman is spelled. So, we see that there was an implication in the Torah for Haman. Then the Gemara asks, Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin? Do we see that there's an implication for Mordechai in the Torah? So the Gemara says yes. Because Mordechai, by the Besomim, and when we are obligated in the Parsha, this is in the Parsha Kisiso, that we were obligated to take the Besomim, to take perfumes and scents, to make from it, the Shema HaMishcha, to make from it the oil of anointment, or the Keteris HaSamim, or the incense. So the Torah there lists out, it lists for us which scents to take. So it says, Mor Doror, Umetargeminon, Mori Dichtia. It says, Mor Doror, the Targum, Unkeles writes, this is called Mori Dichtia. This is the basis of the same word that Mordechai, that spells out Mordechai. So we see an implication in the Torah for Mordechai. Then the Torah asks, Esther min ha-Torah min. Where do we find Esther in the Torah? Esther did not live in the Torah. The whole episode of Purim took place many years after the close of the Torah. After the finish of the Torah, which was the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, then Yeshua brought the people into Eretz Yisrael. They were in Eretz Yisrael for many hundreds of years, before David and Shlomo HaMelech, David and King Solomon established the Beis HaMikdash. Then, the Beis HaMikdash, several centuries later, over 400 years later, was destroyed. And the Jews were exiled by the Babylonians. And from Babylonia, who the king of Babylonia was defeated by the king of Madayoparas, Syria and Persia. And from there, they went from Babylonia to Syria and Persia. And this is how Mordechai and Esther came to Shushan, which was the capital. So this was many, many centuries after the close of the Torah. The Gemara wants to know, do we find some type of implication of Esther in the Torah? And the Gemara says yes. Brings the prophet. For Nochi Aster Aster, I will conceal myself. The word Esther comes from the word Seser, to mean to conceal. I will conceal myself, Hashem says. So here we see an implication that there will be an Esther. Now let's examine this Gemara a little closer. This is the Gemara says, where is there an implication for Haman in the Torah? So the Gemara relates it to the serpent trying to seduce Chava into tasting from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, of the tree of knowledge, which was a forbidden fruit. And it was that tree and that fruit that brought death to the entire world. So we can see the relationship there between Haman and Hamin ha'Eitz, from this tree. Because Haman also was Lahashmid Lahareg Ulahabed of Kol HaYehudim. Haman had decreed to destroy all the Jews of the world. So we see the relationship. When it comes to finding a source for Mordechai in the Torah, so the Gemara relates it to Moror Dror, Mori Dichti, to the Besomim, to the sense which the Kohanim used for the Shema HaMishpah. Now this is the pinnacle of Kiddush of sanctity. We are told that the Shema HaMishpah, the oil of anointment, and the incense that went into the inner altar, this was the most sanctified of all of the things in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a very good relationship. Mordechai was a very, very great tzaddik. The fact is, the Gemara tells us that Mordechai in his generation was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. And Mordechai led the Jews, and he was instrumental in saving all of the Jews. And at that time, all of the Jews of the world were under the sovereignty and dominion of Ahasuerus, because he ruled over 127 empires. So we can see the link between Mordechai and the incense. But this, that the Gemara links Esther to this pasuk, Anochi Asker, Asker. This is somewhat strange. This pasuk is found in the Devarim Lamed Aleph. Let us see what it says. Devarim Lamed Aleph, pasuk Yud Ches. So Hashem tells Moshe, "Hein kol yomech olamus. Your days are coming to an end." This is in Parshas Vayelech, right near the end of the Sefer Torah. Your days are coming to an end. Soon you will have to die. Actually, this is speaking on the last day of Moshe's life. Yehoshua will carry on in your stead. He will lead the nation. And Hashem said, "I know that after your death and after the death of your Talmud Yeshua, the nation will get up and they will go after the false gods of the world. And they will come into Eretz Yisrael and they will not keep my laws, they will not keep my covenant. And I will become angry. And I will forsake them and I will conceal my face from them. And they will find much tzoris, much difficulties, much tribulation, and they will say that all of this has happened to us because Hashem, because God has left us. He has forsaken us. But Anochi Haster Haster Ponai Bayem Ahu, Al Kol Aro Asher Oso, and I will Haster Haster, I will conceal myself. It's written twice. I will doubly conceal myself from all of this. I will conceal myself from my nation. Because they have turned to gods of others. This is that portion. And the Targum Umtulis tells us, I will take my Shekhinah, I will take my presence, and I will take it away from them. I'll call Bishat the Abuda, because all of the bad things which they have done, they have went in the ways and the errors of the Goyim, of the other nations. So this pasuk is speaking, Asker, how Hashem will conceal himself from his nation. Hashem will go away from his nation. And the Gemara says, where is an implication for Esther Amalka, for Esther the queen? The Gemara says for this pasuk, Asker, it's the same word, Esther, Asker. And just like Esther means to conceal, this word also means to conceal. But how can we relate Esther, who was such a tzaddikus, who was such a righteous woman, who it was through her that the geula, that the Yeshua, the salvation for all of Israel came. So this pasuk, when this pasuk is telling us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will turn away from his nation, that's what it means, Haster, he will take his presence away from the nation. This relates to Esther, to Queen Esther. This is something which is very strange. Another question that needs explanation. So we have four questions. Firstly, why did the sages find it so justified or necessary to establish this holiday as a Yom Kippur generation? Secondly, the Medrash tells us that there will be a time when the Yom Tovim will become awful. It will not be necessary to keep the Yom Tovim, but Purim always would be kept. Thirdly, the Gemara tells us that there's an obligation, a specific obligation on this at this time, that one should drink so much to the point where no longer does he know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. This is a strange mitzvah. And fourthly, when the Gemara wants to relate Esther to a source in the Torah, it relates her name to the Haster Ponai, to the concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his nation. This does not seem right. The Gemara in the section of Gilla stuff is relevant. States as follows. Tonu Rabon, a rabbi's story. Arboim Ushmona Nevi'im V'sheva Nevi'os. There were 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, which Nisdabu Lehem LeYisrael, which prophesied to Israel. And not one of them ever added to the Torah or took anything away from the Torah. Chutz, with one exception. This was the exception of Esther, Mikra Megillah. Exception of the mitzvah of the reading of the Megillah. From all of the 48 prophets, the 7 prophets that stood up for Israel, never did one add a new mitzvah or take a mitzvah away from the Torah. Except Esther. Esther came to the sages and she requested that a mitzvah, a new mitzvah be made, the mitzvah of Purim. Every year, Jews should read the Megillah and they should fulfill the other mitzvahs of Purim. Rashi asks, what about Hanukkah? Hanukkah also had a mitzvah was added, the mitzvah of lighting the candles. But Rashi says this was not during the time of the prophets. This was afterwards. Hanukkah took place later. It was after the prophets and after the time and the end already of the Kisvei HaKodesh of the Holy Scriptures. But Purim took place during the time of the prophets. My Dorosh, what right did Esther have to do this? Or the Sanhedrin? What right did the courts have to listen to her? What justification to add mitzvah? Omer B'chiyah Barabin, Omer B'shul Ben Korchum. They made a kal v'chaymah. They had a good logic. Ma me'abdus l'cheirus amrin shiro m'misa l'chayim ekol. They said that if we were obligated to say shiro, if we were obligated to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we went out of Egypt, Moshe sang and all of Israel sang. And that was me'abdus l'cheirus, that was from slavery to freedom. So here where we were saved from death to life, how much more so are we obligated to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is what the Gemara says. So this was the justification. If from slavery to freedom we're obligated to sing to Hashem, so how much more so are we obligated when we are saved from death to life? So the Gemara says, so why don't we say Halalah for a minute? If we're obligated to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so let us say Halal. Halal is the greatest song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on Pesach we sing Halal, and on Sukkot we sing Halal, Shavuos we do, but not on Purim. Why not on Purim also? So this the Gemara says there are 3 opinions as to why not on Purim. One opinion is that we say Naimanim Halal Neshi B'chutzlah. Halal can be said only on a miracle which takes place in Eretz Yisrael. But on a miracle which takes place out of Eretz Yisrael, like by Purim, which was in Mordai, who for us, it was in Persia, that we cannot say Halal. And then the Gemara asks, well, Pesach also took place outside of Eretz Yisrael. The miracles of Pesach took place in Egypt, and still we say Halal. What is the distinction? That was before Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael. Before Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, so then, any miracle anywhere could obligate one in Halal. But after Klal Yisrael went to Eretz Yisrael, so then only miracles in Eretz Yisrael obligate Halal, not miracles in the Golus. That's one opinion. Second opinion, the Gemara brings Nachman Omar Kriyos Zu Halil. We do say Halal on Purim. We do say. Where do we say Halal on Purim? The reading of the Megillah, this is the Halal. Purim also you're obligated in Halal. The reading of the Megillah is the Halal. And then there's a third opinion, Rav. Rav says, Bishlam ha'asam halalu abdei Hashem b'lei abdei paro. Rav ha'ka halalu abdei Hashem b'lei abdei achashverish. Akati abdei achashverish. Here we cannot say halacha. Rava says, why? Because over there we can praise Hashem that we are servants to Hashem and no longer servants to Paro. This means it was a complete freedom. But here, by Purim, what are we going to say? That we're servants to Hashem? After the miracle of Purim, we were still servants to Ahasuerus. The miracle of Purim was merely the destruction of Haman. But Ahasuerus still ruled, and all of the Jews still lived in Shushan, and they lived in Modai Parah, they were not returned to Eretz Yisrael. They did not have their freedom. So we cannot say halal because we are still the slaves to Ahasuerus. In other words, it was only a partial victory. Say halal on a full victory, but not on a partial victory. This is what the Gemara says. Let's digest this thing, because there's much in this Gemara that we can learn. Firstly, we see from the Gemara that the reason why we read the Megillah on Purim is because of the miracle which took place, and we learn this from a Kal Vachomer. We learn this because if we were obligated to express our simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we were saved, me'avdus l'cheirus, from servants, from slavery to freedom, then how much more so are we obligated to express our and to rejoice when we were saved from death to life? So this is the first principle that we learn from the Gemara, that the obligation of reading the Megillah, this is because of the great miracle that took place. The second principle that we learn from the Gemara. So why don't we say halal also? Why only shira, but not also halal? Either because one does not say halal on a miracle which took place outside of Eretz Yisrael, or because the reading of the Megillah itself is a halal, or because it was only a partial victory. We are still slaves to Ahasuerus. It was not a full victory. Now, these are the principles that we have to think about. On this we can ask several questions. Firstly, the Gemara here relates Megillah, the reading of the Megillah, to Shira. So if we said Shira when we went out of Egypt, so how much more so are we obligated to say Shira, to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now on Purim? So this is why Esther added the mitzvah of Megillah to the mitzvahs of the Torah. What is the relationship between Shira, between song, and the reading of the Megillah? The Shira that Moshe sang, this was a song. Oz Yoshir Moshe Es Hashir Azay, So Shir Lashem Ki Gai Go'o, Sus Terei Koy Rov Marak Bayon. Moshe sang a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mighty, and he's glorious, and he took the horse and the chariot and he threw it into the sea. Micha Malcha, who is so great as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the Shira, this was the song that Moshe sang. The Mikra Megillah, the reading of the Megillah, this does not mention any of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This does not even mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Hashem's name is not printed, is not written in the Megillah at all. It makes no implication of the miracle which took place whatsoever. So how can we relate Shira, how can we relate song to the Megillah? This question can be carried even further in accordance to the opinion from Nachman that says that the reading of the Megillah is halal. How can the reading of the Megillah be called halal? Halal is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give Him thanks for what He has done for us. In the reading of the Megillah, there's no praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's no thanks to Him. It's only Sipur Dvarim Alma. It's just an historical account of what took place at that time in that place. So the question is even broader, according to this opinion, that the reading of the Megillah is in the place of Halal. Another question. Why isn't one obligated to say Halal on a miracle that took place outside of Eretz Yisrael? If one is obligated to respond and to react to miracles, then what's the difference if the miracle is in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael? It's a miracle. It's the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hand of the Almighty. It should require and demand a response from us. So what is the meaning that we say Halal only on a miracle which took place in Eretz Yisrael? And a fourth question. According to the opinion that we should say Halal on Purim, except the reading of the Megillah is the Halal, why, if we should say Halal on Purim, why didn't the sages enact the ordinary Halal that we say? Why here all of a sudden do we read the Megillah and that suffices for Halal? When it comes to Pesach, we read the full Halal. When it comes to Sukkot, we read the full Halal. So on Purim also. Let me repeat these questions. This is something that is worthwhile to go into and to expound. Because from this Gemara we will be enlightened as to the very source of what Purim is. Questions again. The Gemara here relates Megillah to Shira. Says, what right did Mordechai and Esther have to add the mitzvah of Halal, to add the mitzvah of Megillah to all of the mitzvahs? He said, because Moshe sang to Hashem when Israel was saved from slavery to freedom. So we that were saved from death to life, how much more so should we sing to Hashem? This was the justification to add the mitzvah of Megillah. So we see that there is a direct relationship between the reading of the Megillah and the singing of Osh Yoshir, the song, the Shir Sayam, the Shira, which took place at Kriya Shamsut at the Red Sea. How can we link the two together? One was a song to Hashem. It expressed the miracles which took place. It expressed the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it expressed thanks to him. The reading of the Megillah does not express any miracles which took place. It does not express any thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It does not relate any strength to him. And the fact is, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not even mentioned. This is one question. Second question. According to the one that says that the Megillah is in the place of Halal, so the question is even a more serious question. How can we relate Megillah to Halal? Halal is when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not in the Megillah at all. A third question. The Gemara says that we do not say Halal, this is according to one opinion, on a miracle which takes place outside of the Eretz Yisrael. Why not? What's the difference? One is obligated to respond with thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a miracle that has happened. So what is the difference if the miracle takes place in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael? And a fourth question. According to the opinion that Halal is said on Purim, except it is said through the reading of the Megillah, if one is supposed to say Halal on Purim, so why then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't the sages enact the regular Halal on Purim? Why do we use the Megillah in place of Halal? Let's see if we can shed some light on this subject. Shira and Halal. This that we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either at the level of what was known as Shira, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Miriam at the crossing of the sea, or at the level of what is called Halal, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu and by Dovid HaMelech. And we sing this Shira in this Halacha when something good happens to us. The definition of this is that when a person experiences a great tova, a great goodness, and this goodness fills him, and it satisfies him, and it brings perfection to him, and it is so great, and it brings so much goodness to him, and so much perfection, where this expression cannot be subdued and cannot lie dormant, but it must find itself a manifestation in the world which he lives in. This is what our sages define as the Madrega, as the level of Shira. Then he must sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He must sing out and praise and exclaim and describe this goodness that has come to him. This is Shira and this is Hallel. He must sing out and he must give thanks. An example we can give to help define this a little better is that we find that, heaven forbid, by an olah, someone who has lost a close relative of the family, and he is struck by sadness. So the Gemara many times says that he is expressionless. Vayidom Aaron, he is silent. Silence is the fruit of depression. Silence is the fruit of a tragedy that has stricken a person. But when a great simcha strikes a person and it fills him with joy, then the fruit of this is Shira, the song. This is the person, this is the Yetziah min HaKeach el HaKeach. This is the dormant powers which become alive and become realistic. And they manifest themselves in the world. This is Shira and this is Hallel. The Shira, since this is a reaction of what has reached the person, and what has happened to the person, and what the person is experiencing, therefore the Shira must be linked and similar to the action which has affected the person. Therefore, when Klal Yisrael went and they crossed the Red Sea and they saw great miracles, they saw the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they came to the Madrega of Shira, of song. So this expression of song had to be linked and identified with what took place with them, with what they themselves experienced. And the Chazal tell us, the sages tell us, Ros Shibchal Alayam, my Lord, my Shalei Ro Yecheskel Ben Duzi. The miracles were so great, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so great, that a simple handmaid saw more than the greatest prophet saw at other times. They saw this, the Yad Chazoka, the strong hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw his mastery over the world. So the expression of this was identified with what they saw. And therefore they sang Ashira Lashem Ki Go'or Sus Rechvei Roma Vayom. We will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he is so great, he is so glorious, he has taken the horse and the rider and cast him into the sea. Zeh Keli Ma'aseh, this is my God and I shall glorify him, I shall beautify him. Mi Chamocha, who is so great as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the Shira which they sang. This is the principle of what is known as Shira and Hava. Therefore, accordingly, rabbis teach us why one does not sing Shira on a miracle which takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael. In order to come to the level of Hallel and of great rejoicing and great response, a person must sing. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, a person cannot sing. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not reveal himself. The Chazal tell us, Kol mi shedor b'chutz l'oretz ki'ilu ein lo yelecha. Whoever lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he has no God. And that the Farshi commentaries ask, what does it mean? It's as if he has no God. God lives all over the world. He cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not reveal himself outside of Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael he reveals himself. This is why, or, like the Gemara says, to Klal Yisrael before they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Shekhinah, the revelation of the Shekhinah, the revelation of the Divine Presence, was with Klal Yisrael when they went out of Egypt. It was with them in the desert when they built the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and it came with them in Eretz Yisrael. But after it came to Eretz Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu never revealed himself to the sight of man outside of Eretz Yisrael. This is why we find that Nisim Gluyim, open miracles, are experienced in Eretz Yisrael. For example, the miracle of Hanukkah, the Pach Shemen. And there they took a flask of oil which was capable of burning for one night and burnt 8 nights. This was an open revealed miracle. This happened in Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not reveal himself. If he does not reveal himself, then we cannot see him. If we cannot see him, we cannot apparently, at least at first glance, it would seem, we could not react to his miracle. If a miracle, this does not mean to say that miracles do not happen outside of Eretz Yisrael, but when they do, we cannot say Zekeh. We cannot point with a finger. Because I'll tell us that even the handmaid, in when they crossed the Red Sea, they were able to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, this is God. They could see very clearly. But we, when we live outside of Eretz Yisrael, we see and we don't see. It's a confusion. Even if a great miracle happens, Libi Maledefi, there are second thoughts. Was it something of a natural phenomena, or was it a supernatural phenomena? Was it coincidental? Was it scientific? Or was it the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If this is our experience, then we cannot react to that with a halal or a shira. Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs a miracle. Then, because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, we can see it, then we must react with a shira or a halal. This is the explanation of the one who says that halal, you cannot say on miracles outside of Eretz Yisrael. This is the explanation that is brought from the Maral Mitzvah, from the Gilma Gaon, from the Pirush and Megillah, and others. It is for this same reason that there is opinion in the Gemara that we read that we do not say halal on a partial victory. When there's a complete victory, like when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, and they were completely freed from Paray, and they saw Paray destroyed every last one. So there was a full victory. So there was a full perfection coming to the people. So this experience became, reacted itself. This experience manifested itself into a shira, into a song. But if there's only a partial victory, a For example, before we were slaves to Ahasuerus, we were his subjects, and even now we are his subjects. So there's just a partial victory, and there's still sorrows, there's still problems. In such a case, we cannot come to the level of Shira. That's the interpretation of the words of the one who says that we cannot say Halo, Anpo. These are some of the principles that we have from this Gemara. According to this, we have some strong questions. If this is true, then this explains why we do not say Halo. But then why did the sages enact the reading of the Megillah? The Gemara had asked, what right did Mordechai and Esther have? And the sages who agreed to it, to enact the reading of the Megillah no mitzvah. They said they learned it from a Kal Vachomer, they learned it from a logic from the Shiras Hayah, the song of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was required to sing. And there it was a freedom from slavery to freedom. So we that were freed from death to life, how much more so must we sing? So we see that there was an obligation of Shira, a song. Why? Secondly, according to what the Gemara says, the Mikra Megillah is the song, the reading of the Megillah is the song. Thirdly, according to one opinion, the reading of the Megillah is the Halakha. But we just said that on a miracle that's not a complete miracle, or a miracle which is outside of Eretz Yisrael, or where we cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible for a person to come to the level of Shira. Yet we do see that even though there is no actual Shira here, no actual song, still there is the mitzvah of reading of the Megillah, and the reading of the Megillah is the song, and according to one opinion it is the Halakha. How do we digest this? How do we explain this? And again, what we asked before, how can the reading of the Megillah be a halal at all? Or how can it be a song? There is no song in it. There's no expression of thanks. There's no mention of the miracles or of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here the Gemara is revealing to us something which is very deep. And this is as follows. It is not true that there are no miracles outside of Eretz Yisrael. This is not true. There are miracles. And it is not true that miracles outside of Eretz Yisrael do not demand a reaction. They also demand a reaction. But in order to react, we must see the miracles. And as we said before, the song which we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Halal which we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's an expression of the miracle or the goodness which affected us, which we experienced. So therefore the song and the Halal must be similar to what reached us, to what affected us. If the miracle was a miracle which was revealed to all, it was a miracle which we saw with our eyes, then the song also must declare this. But what would happen if it was a miracle which we could not see? It was a miracle which was concealed. However, we knew of it. We knew that it took place. Except we could not see it. We could not hear it. We could not perhaps even prove it. So we did not know it took place through the senses of sight or of hearing or of logic. But still we knew for sure that it took place. Without a doubt, of the interior man, not an expression of his exterior. We'll explain this a little more thoroughly. And from this Gemara, which is explaining to us the mitzvah work, we can understand what was Purim. Purim, the Gemara says, was a golos to save golos. It was an exile within an exile. What does that mean? That the Jews were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Molech. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Molech. That exile took them from Israel into Babylonia. From there they were exiled the second time. From Babylonia into Modai Uparash, into Persian Syria. So it was a double exile. The Gemara tells us it was a choshech b'sei choshech, a hester shtei hasporis. It was a double darkness, a double concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We called it the pasuk that said, Anochi haster astir, I will conceal myself. The Gemara says this is referring to Esther and Purim. Says twice I will conceal myself. Shtei hasporis. Twice HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed himself. How? Because there was the Tzor of Achashverosh. Achashverosh was not a good king. He was a very wicked king. And he also wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And then in the midst of that Tzor, there was the Hester of Haman. Haman came to destroy Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us that the great enemy of the Jews during the time of Purim was Haman Ha'agogic. Haman was from Agog, from the nation of Amalek. Amalek was the great enemy of Klal Yisrael, but of a particular type of enemy. Amalek was the enemy which caused the concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Torah it states, Yod al Kes Koach. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says that my hand is raised by my throne, that I will war with Amalek forever. And the word of hand by HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and the word of throne by HaKodesh Baruch Hu, is each one is written without all of the letters to tell us that ein yodai sholem, ein yodi sholem, ve'ein kisai sholem. That my hand is not an ein shmi sholem. My name is not perfect, and my throne is not perfect. As long as the power of Amalek is in the world, we see that Amalek had the power to destroy the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his throne, to conceal the power of Hashem. It's interesting to note that this Shabbos, the Shabbos before Purim, is called Shabbos Zohar. Why? Because we read the Parsha of Amalek, of which that we are obligated to remember what Amalek did for Israel, and to obligated to remember that we are, when the opportunity comes, we are to make war against them. It's one of the places in the Torah where it states Zohar. You should remember. But most of the time when the Torah commands us on something, it commands us. It doesn't tell us you should remember to do. By the mitzvah of Amalek, of destroying Amalek, there the Torah found it necessary to tell us Zohar, remember what Amalek did. Al Tishkach, do not forget. Why was this necessary? It comes to Lulav and Esther, the Torah doesn't tell us remember. It comes to Tfilin, the Torah doesn't tell us remember. Our rabbis teach that the Torah commanded us to remember. This means that it's something which is easy to be forgotten. The power of Amalek is the power to conceal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was the power of atheism. The Lo Yorei Hashem, they did not fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They can cast a darkness, a shadow in the world that can destroy the light. So as long as Amalek is here, we will forget to destroy Amalek. We will forget to make war against Amalek. Because they blind us from the truth in the world. Therefore the Torah could not merely tell us, make war with Amalek. They had to tell us, Zichor, remember what they did, and Al Tishkach, do not forget this. This also was the power, this was the main power, during the time of Esther. Not only were there all of these aspects of exile and of darkness before the miracle, but even after the miracle took place. After the miracle took place, a dying Avdei Achashverosh, we were still servants and subjects to Achashverosh after the miracle took place. This means that the situation did not change that much. True, Haman was destroyed. But we were still foreigners in a strange land. We were not returned to Eretz Yisrael. We were still subjects to Achashverosh. Mordechai, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, became a Mishnah Lamelach. He became the viceroy to Achashverosh. This was not really his setting. This means that he had to work in the courts of the kings of the world. This was not to his liking, to Mordechai Yehudi, who refused even to bow to Haman. Esther Hamalko, Esther the Tzadikis, who was so righteous, after all of this took place, she was not freed from the clutches of Ahasuerus. She was still the queen of Ahasuerus, living in his palace, which was the midst of the Tumas Hagoyim, the midst of the impurities of the nation. So Purim was not only where there was complete sorrow and darkness before the miracle, but after the miracle also. Like the Gemara brings out, that a full halakha could not be said, because we're still slaves to Ahasuerus. It was not a complete victory. Yet, it was a great victory, because Haman was decreed lahashmi lahare v'la'al ben eskol ha'yehudi. He decreed to destroy every Jew. Minar ve'adot v'kach moshe v'shlomo levot, children and women, old men and young men, and to take all of their possessions on one day. And this decree would have been carried out. He had the power to do so. And letters were sent all over the world to all of the 127 medinas of Ahasuerus. So it was a great victory. It was a tremendous victory for Klal. Yet they still remained, after the victory, still in Golus, still in the exile, with all of the problems of the exile. The victory which took place, and the miracle which took place, that Haman was completely overturned, and he was overturned in a matter of hours. One year we gave a shiur to make a calculation that the Nahatechu, the overturning of Haman, that everything that he had decreed against the Jews worked out just against him, was in a matter of hours, where he was brought from greatness down to the lowest level of defeat. This miracle was not revealed whatsoever. There were no supernatural acts at all. Everything was done derech hateva, in a purely natural way. someone who saw what took place most likely would not have realized that it was the hand of the Almighty. But it would have been history. The fact is, the Megillah itself tells us, Aleihem Ksuvim, that it became an historical account amongst the archives of the king. The nations that read about what took place took very little notice. The Jews, however, they knew what took place. How do we know that they knew what took place? It says, Mayhudim Haisa Ora, the Jews had great light on that day when Haman was a Jew. What was the Ora? Ora, Chazal tell us, Ora Zu Torah. Mayhudim Haisa Ora, the Tosim Yitzchak record. They had Ora, they had Torah. They had Sosen, Zumilo. Simcha Zu Yantif. Vikor Zu Tfilah. That from this miracle, the Jews came to fulfill mitzvahs of Hashem. The Jews that did not fulfill these mitzvahs before, fulfilled them. Those that fulfilled them before, fulfill them with greater zeal. And the Gemara tells us, Laihudim Haisa Ora, what was the Or, what was the light of the Torah? A new Torah. Kimu v'kiblu, that what they did not accept completely from the giving of the Torah at Sinai, now they accept it completely. New levels of Torah was accepted by them, were accepted by them on Purim. And we see this also from this Gemara that we're speaking of. This the Maral brings out. If Esther and Mordechai wanted to add a new mitzvah to the Torah, and the Sanhedrin, the courts agreed, and the Megillah tells us that all of the Jews accepted, if they wanted to add new mitzvahs, so this must mean that they were accepting all of the mitzvahs, and they even wanted to add more. This all came from what took place. What did this show us? That as far as Ahasuerus was concerned, this was an historical account. As far as the nations were concerned, this was an historical account. As far as the Jews were concerned, this was from the greatest miracle. They saw the miracle. They knew of the miracle. And this was the new orb, the new light which came down to them. And they reacted. Kimu v'kiblu la'ihudim ha'isa ora zu Torah tosayim zu tfilin zu milo simcha yantif dikor itzul. Now the question here is how did the Jews know? The Megillah here teaches us that all of the Jews knew. All of the Jews. And all of the Jews saw. The question is, how did they see and how did they know? Did they actually see something? No, this is not true. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reveal himself. And this was outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because God does not reveal himself outside of Eretz Yisrael. Did they hear something? They did not hear. Perhaps then, they logically knew. This also is not true. They did not know by logic either. Because the Gemara tells us that the argument was against it. It was choshech b'tei choshech. It was darkness upon darkness, exile upon exile, troubles upon troubles. Before the miracle, and even after the miracle. After the miracle, many of the same problems remained. which existed before. Then the question remains, so how did they know? So in this, our sages teach us that they knew not through seeing, and not through hearing, and not through knowing. These were ways they could not tell. But they knew without these senses. Without the sense of seeing, and without the sense of hearing, and without the sense of knowing. Without logical conclusions, because there were no logical conclusions to come to. Still they knew, and they knew with a brirus, they knew with a certainty, with such a certainty, that from here all of Klal Yisrael came to again receive the Torah. The Gemara says that there was a new Kabbalah HaTorah, there was a new receiving of the Torah on board, and an Or Chodesh, a new light. They did not know through exterior powers, but they knew through powers which were deep down in a person. The pneumius. The innermost depth of the person, of the individual. This taught him. This is what he knew. And this is what the Gemara is telling us. Why we are obligated to sing Shira on Purim? And according to one opinion, even hallow, but it's in the form of the beginning of the Megillah. If it's a miracle which comes to a person, if it's a great influence of goodness which comes to a person, where he sees it with his eyes, or he hears it with his ears, so he must respond accordingly. He must respond with a shira or a hallow, which describes what took place, which tells and relates what took place, and which openly praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if a great goodness comes to an individual, he cannot see it with his eyes, and he cannot hear it with his ears, and he cannot even understand it with his mind, he cannot prove it. If he doesn't know of it, not certain, then there is no halakha, there's no justification of shira or song or of halakha. But if he is certain that this was the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the guidance of Hashem, then he's obligated to react to it. And it's a kal vachomer. If Moshe and the people reacted when they were merely taken out of slavery, so when we were saved from imminent death, how much more so must we react? But the reaction must be the song, not the song of the senses, not the song of the sight or of the hearing or of the knowledge of the person, but it must be the song of the pneumius. It must be the song of the innermost deep bond of the person that he has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This must be his praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bezuv Mikra Megillah. And this is the reading of the Megillah. When he reads the Megillah, to anyone else it can look merely like an historical account. There's no exclamation of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or of the miracles which took place. But when the Jew reads the Megillah, this is a shira, this is a song, this is a hallow, kriyasa zu halila. The reading is the hallow. Now let's go to some of the questions that we asked, and we will immediately have a clarification. Thank you. Why? You are saying to choose to take this miracle and establish it for generations. When many miracles happen to Klal Yisrael, the hold over the Rengi Malena Lakali Seinu, in every generation, they stand up against us to destroy us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyodam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from their hands. During the time of Esther and Mordechai, a new dimension of Torah, a new dimension of faith came to Klal Yisrael that they never had before. A new dimension came to them, which was a different dimension altogether than even the great faith that came to Klal Yisrael during the going out of Egypt. During the going out of Egypt, there the underlying theme was Rosso Shikhal Alayam Mashalayra Yechetzel Ben Musa, that the simple handmaid saw more than the greatest prophet. Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed himself so strongly and so clearly to the people, or the same by the giving of the Torah, that it was very difficult for anyone to doubt what was taking place. But also Shivkal Aliyah, the handmaid saw more than the greatest prophet. And because of this seeing and this hearing, they rose to great heights. And they sang of this. And they praised of this. But had there not been this seeing or this hearing, they would not have known at all the presence of the Almighty. On Purim, which is known as the Yom Tov of the Golus, Purim is the only Yom Tov we have that comes because of the exile. A new level was brought to Klal Yisrael. What will happen when you will not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you will not hear him, and you will not even see him with your seichel, with your mind? What will happen to the faith then? If faith is dependent upon seeing or hearing, what will be in the Golus, in the exile, where we will not see him and not hear him? What will be with the faith then? And this is what Purim brought to Klal Yisrael. They did not see him or hear him. They did not know of him. But still, they believed. And they believed beyond a doubt that whatever took place with the hand was because of the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they rose to tremendous heights from this. Again, they rose to heights of Sinai. The Gemara tells us that there was another receiving of the Torah at Purim. And not only a receiving of the Torah, but where they had a desire to add to the Torah, to add more mitzvahs. On Sinai, they rose to heights of receiving of the Torah because they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. During the time of Esther and Mordechai, they rose to heights of receiving the Torah, even though they could not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the Or Kodosh, this was the new light that came to Klal Yisrael. And in here, the sages saw, and Mordechai and Esther saw, that this would be a source of light and strength for Klal Yisrael forever in the Golus, in the exile. And therefore they said, let us capture this, and let us retain it. The Kovani Lideres, Esther requested, and the Sanhedrin set it aside forever, that it become a Yom Tov forever. Mikra Megillah, let the mitzvah of Megillah, the mitzvah of this Yom Tov and the Shira and the Hallow be forever. And they agreed, the Sanhedrin agreed. We ask, the Gemara says, do we have an implication of Mordechai in the Torah? Do we find an implication from the Besomim? Is there something very related to Mordechai? The one is an implication for Haman in the Torah. We find an implication of Hamina 8 that the Eitz HaDaat, the tree of knowledge, was brought death to the world. Where is the implication from Esther? Because Baruch Hu says that there will be a time after Moshe will die and after Yeshua will die, and the people will go and serve other gods, and I will exile them from their land. Anochi after, and I will be Mechalik Mashkina, and I will turn away from them. I will turn away from them, and they will have much choice. Here is the implication of Esther. We ask, what kind of implication for Esther is that? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn away. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never turns away from the people. Even when they go into Golus, Shkinta Gola Imona, the Gemara tells us. They go into exile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also goes into exile with them. Does not turn away from them. There's only one difference. The difference is in Eretz Yisrael, you can see the Shkinta. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, you cannot see the Shekhinah. But it's not that the Shekhinah is not there. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will turn away from the people, he will conceal himself, he means not that he will not be there. He will be there, but he will conceal himself. And this power to see the Shekhinah, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when he is concealed, this is the power that Esther brought to the people. It was through the leadership of Esther that the people learned how to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when it was impossible to see. Esther came to the greatest heights of righteousness, heights that could be attained perhaps only in Yerushalayim in the Beit HaMikdash. Esther came to these heights in Poras Umoda, not only in Poras Umoda but in the palace of Ahasuerus, and not only in the palace of Ahasuerus but amidst the impurities of being forced to be a wife to him. Matilbash Esther Malkus. Megillah tells us Esther put on her garments of queenship. Gemara says Ruach HaKodesh. She came to Ruach HaKodesh. She came to level the prophecy and sanctification. Now where did she prepare herself for this level? In a shul, in a yeshiva, in Yerushalayim. This was Bebeis HaHashverish, in the house of HaHashverish. While she was forced to be his wife. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the exile. Who taught Klal Yisrael how they can come into close communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and close knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without knowing him and without seeing him? This was the power of Esther. The Lord is telling us very well. Esther min HaTorah minayin. Where do we find the power of Esther in the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there will be a time that you will be driven out of Eretz Yisrael, Manochi after Esponai, I will conceal myself from you. Not that I will not be there, but I will conceal myself from you. But you will still learn how to know that I'm there. To know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, even though he is concealed, this was brought to the world by Esther. And therefore, Esther, whose name means concealment, Sasim, she learned of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was in secrecy. This was already referred to many generations before in the writing of the Torah, that there will be a time that I will be secret. But not that you shall not know me, you shall also. The level that came to Klal Yisrael from the nation Torah was not a light in the darkness. Because if there's a light in darkness, then it dissipates the darkness. The level that came to Klal Yisrael was that the darkness itself is light. Not that they saw light in the darkness because they did not see any light. But darkness itself became light. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes into this world and he conceals himself in this world. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he reveals himself, that's one more. To see HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he does not reveal himself, to see darkness light, that's even a greater one. And this is why the Medrash tells us, L'otim Lover, in time to come, all of the Yom Tovim will not be necessary to see. But Purim will always be. And why is that? Because the Gemara tells us that from the time of the Mashiach, the miracles will be so great that they will outshine the miracles of Egypt. The miracles of the Melech HaMashiach, when it comes to fight the nations for Klal Yisrael and bring it back to Israel, they will be so great that they will completely outshine the miracles of Egypt. This is the Gemara in Brachos. And the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, will be total, will be secondary to the great miracles of the Melech HaMashiach. And since we celebrate all of the untidy because they think Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's a remembrance of the going out of Egypt, and the going out of Egypt will be outshined by the going out of the land of the Golus, and a small light cannot show light next to a big light, next to a greater light, so these Yom Tovim will lose their great significance. But there will be one level that will never be lost, and that will be Purim. Because Purim has a greatness which supersedes the other. Because the other is limited. The other is a reaction, a response to a great light. It's a response to what someone sees or hears. So it's limited to his sight, it's limited to his hearing. Purim was a response to something that they did not see and did not hear. It's not limited to physical senses. So no matter what light there is in the world during the time of the Melech HaMashiach, the knowing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there is no light, the knowing that darkness is light also, this is a level that will never be lost. Therefore, our seeding Yom Tovim will be bottled. Yom Tovim will become bottled, they will become secondary, but not Purim. And finally, why do we find that on Purim we have a mitzvah that one is obligated to drink on Purim until he does not know the difference between Oru Mordechai, Oru Haman, Uborach Mordechai? This is something we do not find in any other place. That the answer is because every yantar is a simcha, the rejoicing of a certain knowing, of a certain knowledge. We have the knowledge of the Yetzias Mitzrayim of the Exodus. We have the knowledge of the giving of the Torah. We knew of it. We logically knew. We saw. And therefore we must react. And we must rejoice. Purim is not the rejoicing of knowing. Because logically, a person knows only what he can prove. And you cannot prove the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it cannot be seen. Purim was the level of believing without knowing. Of emuna, of believing, lemala min hayom, which is independent, which is not limited. David HaMelech said, "Gam ki elef begeitel moved, lo'iro roshi atzimoni." Also, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear you. I will not fear because you are with me. What does it mean? Also. When, David HaMelech said, when I see you, why should I fear? You are with me. When I know you are here, Why should I fear? You are with me. But what will happen in the depths of the darkness of ghosts? When, heaven forbid, we see tragedy and we see Tzoris Rabbis and we do not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we do not know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gam Kirei, even then, I also shall not fear, because you are with me. Even when it is beyond the point of understanding, I still know you are with me. It is a knowing not because of sight and not because of hearing and not because of knowledge, but it is a knowing which is not based on any sense, but is based on pure reason. Based on the bond, the innermost bond of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the level that came on Purim. If this is the level that came on Purim, then this is the simcha that we rejoice with. Therefore, the Chazal says, Chayavodim v'sumba b'puriyah, that a person is obligated to drink on Purim to the point where no longer he knows the difference between order, homin, and baruch mocha. In order that even when he does not have any yediyah left, shikras, becomes shikr, so no longer does he have his intellectual senses. But still he can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, Mayi b'yei mashki kafei b'lev ha-melech mayon. The Gila tells us on the seventh day, Achashverosh was having a great party, and for 7 days they were sitting. He was sitting with the kings of the land and the nobility, eating and drinking. And on the seventh day, when their hearts were merry with wine, what did they say? They said, "Bring Vashti, in order that we can gaze at her beauty." The Gemara says, "Wine breaks down the intellectual capacity of a person. And it brings out in a person a deeper capacity. Nitnas yain yotzei sod. When wine goes into a person, the deepest secrets within him come up. The wine breaks down intellectual capacity and brings out the depths of a person. What were the depths? Achashverosh and his colleagues, after 7 days of drinking, bring Vashti that we may gaze upon her. The Gemara says, Klal Yisrael, on Shabbos they eat and they drink, then they go into the Beis HaKnesses to be mistaken. What are the depths of Klal Yisrael? Depths of Klal Yisrael, when the intellectual capacity is broken down, to go and to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Simcha of Purim is that. Therefore, the Chazal said that it must be celebrated even at that level. This is the reason for that mitzvah. In all of this, we see that Purim was the source of the Kakagolos, the Yamir of Klal Yisrael in the Golos, brought a level of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za. Or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.